This episode of the CMO Suite is brought to you by Uconix. Uconix provides digital solutions and teams to brand CMOs, VPs, and marketers looking for true transparency in the biddable media space. From paid social and PPC to complex platforms like the Trade Desk, brands from across the world have connected to Uconix. Visit them today at uconix.com. And No Kid Hungry. We're proud to promote No Kid Hungry and their many initiatives to help kids in need of meals. No Kid Hungry helps kids be kids, not be hungry. Visit them at nokidhungry.org. And finally, we're proud that Season 3 of the CMO Suite is presented by thecmocouncil.org as their official marketers podcast. The Chief Marketing Officer Council is the only global network of executives specifically dedicated to high-level knowledge exchange, thought leadership, and personal relationship building among senior corporate marketing leaders and brand decision makers. The CMO Council's 15,000-plus members control more than $550 billion in aggregated annual marketing expenditures and run complex distributed marketing and sales operations worldwide. For more information on membership, visit thecmocouncil.org. Let's start the show.
You're in the CMO Suite, the podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
I'm going to introduce my guest, Ms. Daya Lawrence, the CMO for Variety. Please give her a round of applause. Daya, thank you so much for joining us up here today. I had the ability to be able to meet you last year, and we had you on the show. And so I'm going to ask a couple of questions that I know that we covered back then, but then I also want to ask you a little bit about some of the stuff that you guys are really working on right now. And I want to make sure one of the things that I focus on certainly is what you guys are doing out in the event space. So for those of you who've never met Daya, I think she's got a really interesting story. If you don't mind, just at least briefly covering, how did you end up here in Los Angeles?
Okay, well, very briefly, I used to be an actor.
Surprising for somebody who's in LA, I'm sure,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yes. Someone's an actor, a screenwriter, or I want to direct. So I was an actor. I toured with the Broadway show. I starred in two long-running off-Broadway shows, and I did regional theater and commercials and soap operas. And then I came out here, and I was still an actor, and I had to get a job because it's not like New York. So I fell into working for a company that had databases on who does what in Hollywood. And from there, they built a website, and I learned all about the internet. And from there, they sold to a company named called iFilm, and I was still, you know, guest starring and doing things. And then I eventually got pulled into the digital marketing space, and it became...
Your passion, really, to some extent.
It became my passion.
Yeah. So how do you feel like marketing for a media company is different than marketing for a brand?
Well, it's very different. And I think a question that people ask me a lot is, what does a CMO at Variety do? Because you think of CMOs for, you know, Burger King, not necessarily a B2B publication. So what I do at Variety is I develop the product in terms of new sales products. I figure out how we're going to take it to market. I help price it. And, of course, I do all of the sales materials. I'm responsible for all the PR, all the marketing outreach. I developed something, our custom content studio, that has done incredibly well. And I also oversee our live media business, which we produce over 70 events throughout the year. So
it really is a sales function to some extent.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah. My background is I used to run sales teams. And so I'm taking that knowledge along with what I've done in marketing and, you know, figure out how do we keep this 115-year-old brand very young.
And so as you're trying to figure out, again, the dynamic of how do you keep a 150-year-old brand young, sometimes you have these legacy brands, but you have to keep them current. And so how have you guys done that? How have you navigated your way through that to some extent?
Well, I mean, it was quite a process. Variety went through some very difficult times, as many publishing companies did, this is my second time at Variety. I left.
You've been there before, yep.
Yeah, I've been there before. I left in 2008. So they went through this very difficult time period from like 2008 to really the beginning of 2013. And most thankfully, Jay Penske came in and saved Variety. Restructured the whole company. So what we've had to do is really focus. Our print is up, by the way, which is miraculous.
Yeah.
Not too many publications can say that. We had to develop a whole social strategy. I mean, they had hardly any followers, you know, and that we really had to really think about video and social, mobile video, you know, all the trends and how are we going to apply that. And, you know, what kind of content are we going to create that's going to appeal to a younger audience? Because people thought of Variety as being very old, including our slanguage, which I personally loved our slanguage. We got rid of all of that. You know, we have to think about search engine optimization and all these other things that when we had a daily paper, we could do these fun headlines. We switched to a weekly magazine. and started this events business. And, you know, what can we do to appeal to young people? So we have the power of Young Hollywood. We work with influencers. We, you know.
So not unlike many other brands and many of you that, are out there that are all trying to figure out how do you keep a product young and fresh.
Right.
And the only way it seems like to be able to do that again is to utilize different technologies to be able to do just that.
Right.
Because the way that consumers consume today is completely different. You know, we were talking a little bit before, my kids, they don't even really know what cable actually is. They don't watch anything on cable. They barely sit through commercials. And so to some extent, you guys are also in some ways, like many other brands, sales is an element of what you do. You have to watch sales just like everything else. It's a key element.
That's the whole driver.
It is.
How much are we bringing in? So, but and also the business, we have to think about it sort of, we have our, the very, you know, the business side of the business where we do a lot of breakfasts and things that appeal, you know, conversations with thought leaders. We have a summits business. And then we also have the part of the business that's all celebrity driven and that is more consumer facing. Because even though we are a trade, we have 22 million unique users on Variety.com. So it's
and the
not
fact that
small.
You're so different dynamically to those different groups, are you able to sometimes utilize that social nature, especially with some of the celebrity things that you guys do, to be able to help empower the other parts of the business
to
some extent?
It's a huge piece.
And yeah, go ahead.
And also, you know, who is doing the social? We have a wonderful person who her voice is so unique, and since we hired her, it's really helped us a lot. Yeah.
What do you think is one of the most important and perhaps even painful lessons this industry's taught you along the way, Dea?
I've had so many painful lessons in this industry. A lot of painful ones when I was an actor. I think that you can't, I mean, the industry is changing now, so I think the harshness of it in terms of personal interaction, I think, I don't know if I talked about this last time I was here, but it can be a brutal, brutal industry because you're only as good as your recent project. If you don't, I mean, I have heard the worst things about just celebrities when someone mentions a celebrity because we have to honor people, we put people on covers, and I'm not saying we say these things, but like if you mention, oh, what about so-and-so, you're like, are you kidding me? We would never have so-and-so.
Yeah.
I'm like, but she has an Oscar. You know, it's like, that was a long time ago. You know, you're only as good as you are working right now.
And I think do you have advice for that? Do you have advice for people who feel like, gosh, if I'm only as good as the last project I've worked on, how do I continue to make sure that I stay relevant in this industry that is changing so fast?
That is
how do you do that?
That's a showbiz saying. You're only as good as the...
Sure.
You know, so how do you stay relevant? Well, you got to keep reinventing yourself. I mean, I think that's...
The key to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Madonna stayed relevant. I mean, old reference, I know. But
sure.
That's how she stayed relevant. You have to keep reinventing yourself, you know.
And so what part does personal brand kind of play in that to some extent? How important is it as either a CMO or somebody in marketing, again, not to go back to the part that I spoke about, but from your perspective, how important is that piece for all of us that are in this industry?
Well, I think in general, your personal brand, it's what you carry with you, your relationships and your personal brand. It doesn't matter what job you're at, it increases your value. Certainly your relationships do. And that's why I've been able to get jobs is because of the relationships that I've had and I bring them to the table. And, you know, but I think that pivoting, and I talk a lot about pivoting,
sure.
I'm a big believer in pivoting and reinvention. And if what you're doing is not working, tweak it, change it, and figure out how you can continue to move forward in a greater career doing what you love, but possibly doing it differently. Like, I think changing jobs is a good thing. I'm a big believer in changing jobs.
You talked about events and how many events you guys do.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like even events like this, you could be at a giant conference mm-hmm. that's several hundred people or even something that's, you know, a little bit more intimate like this.
Right.
To some extent, sometimes some of the smaller events, maybe they become even more personal. They give you an opportunity to be able to really interact with people in ways that you can develop maybe long-term relationships. That even if you're building a personal brand, sometimes just being in a room with fellow marketers.
Hey, you have to network.
That networking opportunity.
You have to network. You have to keep posting. And when you were saying this, I thought, oh, we did three events this week. I haven't had time to post. But we do produce 70 events. I'm going to talk about Variety
for a
little bit.
Please, go ahead.
Okay.
There's no conflict there.
We produce 70 events, which I don't think people quite realize. We have a very robust summits business, which is all of our thought leadership, and then we have a whole other section of events that are all celebrity-driven. And one of the ways that we personally have been able to be successful is that we've changed our strategy. We moved from, we used to have a, we used to think, okay, well, let's plan out the year and we'll do the Power of Women, we'll do a women's summit, we'll do something, we'll do a party at Comic-Con, we'll do this, we'll do that, and then go out and sell it. Well, you can come up with an idea and that everyone in the office says, oh, that's such a great idea, and then you take it to market and nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. So we shifted to going to our key advertisers and saying, what do you want? What do you need? And what Variety brings to the table are our relationships. And we can open doors. We can get the right people in the room. And so we've gone through now producing the custom event. So we can do large custom events like we do one for PwC. We do Silicon Valleywood, which is a summit just for them. We can do private dinners for Armani and Chanel and YSL, and we do a lot with celebrities. We bring in cast dinners at the film festivals.
Yeah.
Or we can do something, you know, maybe you want to do a more intimate thought leadership where we do a couple of panels and we have a breakfast and we can do things like that.
So again, sometimes that personal level just makes it very valuable.
Yeah.
What are some simple ways that you feel like C-level marketers can start that process of personal branding if they just haven't done it? Are there any other tips that you feel like are important
that are out
there?
Well, you first have to know who you are.
Yeah.
I always say know thyself is really important. Like, who are you? What is the image that you want to project? And how are you going to do that? And who is your audience? Who are you trying to reach?
In LA, you talked about the fact that, you know, whatever your last project was is kind of who defines you sometimes. But I do feel like that social nature, especially something like Instagram, maybe even more so that than Facebook, it does allow you to sometimes build a personal relationship with other marketers out there where you're not just looking for, can they help me make another step? You are looking to sometimes just build a personal relationship with somebody that might be somebody you might do business with at some point, but it could just be a person who becomes a peer for you. It could be somebody who's there to be able to expose you to new things that are out there in the marketplace. And so are you finding for yourself personally you're able to utilize or pivot back and forth between those two a little bit to some extent? We talked about the fact that you were just in Peru, and I know that now simply because I follow you on Instagram.
Yes, I went on an 11-day hike to Peru, not knowing how hard it was going to be.
Slightly unprepared for the hike.
14,000 feet, there's not a lot of air. It's hard to breathe while you're climbing, but yeah.
But it is.
Yes, a lot of people know that about me now.
To be able to have a real personal conversation with somebody
exactly.
about something that's personal in their life as opposed
Correct.
To just
right.
when's the next event, when's the next this,
right.
and it does create that some of those longer-term relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
So be authentic. That's
be
your
authentic.
Best advice.
You know, always in everything you have to be authentic.
What do you wish you knew more about?
What do you mean?
In this industry.
I wish I knew more about everything.
Yeah.
Right?
I always feel like you are always evolving. I feel like you are always reinventing yourself to some extent. I do feel like you're incredibly curious in the things that I see or the ways that I follow you. But as we looked at, again, things like VR that's out there in the marketplace or anything that's out there, is there something specific that you feel like, gosh, I just wish I had more time to find out more about this thing that seems to be happening out in the marketplace?
I mean, there's so much. I mean, I read a lot, but I wish I had more time to just really do deep dives, like on the streaming business, for example. Like, you know, this is the huge piece of where everything's going, and I'd love to, and I've asked some of the marketers of these streaming companies, you know, how is it that someone in mid-America in Ohio is going to sign up for, you know, Apple Plus, Disney Plus, HBO Max. What is HBO? What is HBO Max? How are they going to sign up for all these? And how is that business going to sustain? And where is this going to go? What is the next step?
You do
in
think
terms
about
of that.
That.
And also, always data. I always want to know more about data. And I think I mentioned to you, we spoke with Blair Rich, who is the president of Warner Brothers Marketing for pictures and domestic home entertainment. And she spoke about how they're not doing demo targeting anymore for her strategies.
Yeah.
They're doing affinity. It's all about affinity. And that makes so much sense. And it's
so help to define that.
So instead of going out and buying, I'm going to buy moms who are 30 to 40 and live in Ohio and make assumptions about who those moms are, you're actually going to look at what their likes and what their interests are and target them to that. So, you know, she gave the example that people might look at her and make certain assumptions because she has a couple of kids and, you know, she
sure.
lives in California, but she loves Lizzo. So no one would think that someone that
yeah.
you know, she loves Lizzo and that you want to start.
She's a great music artist,
so
by the way.
So she was talking about Hustlers
fantastic.
And how,
yeah.
you know, Lizzo was in Hustlers
yeah.
and how that movie probably wouldn't have been marketed to her. But
same way,
yeah.
sure.
So, I mean, I think that's very interesting. And I'm curious as to where all programmatic is going to go and how, always how it relates to the publishing industry. But I always want to know what's the next step in technology, because that's what I used to sell.
Yeah.
I used to sell platforms. And
you talked about affinity. And so, again, if we can spend just a few more minutes on that, it is a potential shift. And when you look at a company that's that large, that spends as much money as they do, mm-hmm. for them to be talking about an absolute shift in how they target consumers, mm-hmm. more wrapped around the actual affinity piece and less wrapped around this is Mike Mechanic and this is how
it's
we should buy him.
Old way of buying. Yeah.
Many people are still doing it that way. And so, again,
right.
that may be something for all of us. Whether you have media as a key component of what you're doing, all of us to be thinking about that to some extent. How do we strip out, again, some of those numbers that we talk about all the time? And how do we not just put people in a specific box and try to buy to them in some ways?
Right.
None of us really want to be sold to, right? We all want to... You know, we don't mind sometimes being pushed ads about things that we are interested
oh,
in.
Oh, no, I love being pushed out. I mean, I like that these technologies know
yeah.
more about me than I know about me, because it makes my life easier if I see a product that's coming by and I'm like, oh, that's useful, I'll buy that. And I know there's a controversy around this.
It is weird to get pushed an ad about something
I
was just talking to a friend about when I wasn't on social media, but yes.
It is weird that, you know, your television could be listening
yeah.
to you. But
and so to some extent, that's really how digital's changed everything. Would you agree?
Yeah.
It's just changed how we all interact with each other and how brands really need to interact with people to that extent as well. A couple of final questions for you, if you don't mind. And again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. What is one time that your instincts were wrong? Was there a time in your life where you felt like, I just thought it was going to be this way and it wasn't, and that was okay? It's a fair question.
In terms of marketing?
Yeah.
Well, I think, I'm sure there have been times.
Sure.
But I'm going to say there was... I'm going to talk about when I, because I'm positive.
Great.
Okay. I'm going to talk about one time when my instinct was very, very right.
Oh, good.
And made
great.
A huge change
yep.
in my life. And that is when digital was coming up and nobody wanted to do it.
Yep.
I was like, I'll
do that.
There's something to this digital
yeah.
stuff. I mean, really? You think we're still going to be printing newspapers? I don't know about, I think
yep.
I'm going to go over here. You know, and I think that really, I mean, that was
it was everything.
It was, you know, and I'm very fortunate that I was one of the early adapters to that, and that was like, I'm in.
And so again, we talked about that
yeah.
a little bit earlier, just the fact that sometimes what you are today doesn't define what you're going to be tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely.
And always try to yeah. be in the curve where you can.
Right, and be flexible.
Yeah.
Always be flexible. Don't be rigid.
Yeah.
Don't be basic.
Don't be basic.
Don't be basic.
All right, so one of my last questions for you. If you weren't doing this, what do you think you'd want to do?
I think I'd like to produce. I think I'd like to produce Broadway. I mean, they're probably one of the most risky things to do. I'd like to go back to the theater and produce.
And last question, who do you think has inspired you to be the marketer that you are?
Well, I like Martha Stewart.
Really?
Another very controversial.
Yeah.
I did a commercial with Martha Stewart, and I just loved her.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, my God, no wonder she's so successful. She's charismatic, and she's driven, and she's smart, and I know she went to prison. But I think she's been, you know, tremendous.
And
I think she's been a tremendous force.
And maybe a great way to even just as we wrap this is the fact that you look at somebody like Martha Stewart again, think about just that. You know, here's somebody who is incredibly famous, worldly famous, and sometimes, especially here in Los Angeles, we build these people up just to sometimes see them get torn down. And here's somebody who went through it in the real world of it and had to live it out in all of the world and all of that public and was able to come back from it, not only reinvent herself,
right.
but to stand tall. And so not only was she able to do commercials or things like that, I just watched her the other night. She was on a show with Snoop Dogg, and she was out there with, you know, with all of these other music artists and just being real and authentic to some extent,
she
and just
going.
Saying, I just want to be part of whatever this is and keep going.
So she does keep going.
With that, we thank you so much for coming out and joining
you.
Us, and thank you guys all for
sitting through an
episode of the CMO Suite.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. Podcast for marketers who want to be in the know. Presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You're a C-level manager. You shouldn't have to know the difference between behavioral or contextual targeting, but your agency should. UConnex provides brands and biddable teams direct access to platforms like The Trade Desk, Google, Amazon, Facebook, OTT, and more. Their U.S.-based traders can train your in-house team or provide complete transparency with no minimums and CPM-based service pricing for true transparency. Something Mighty Hive, The Trade Desk, and Centro simply don't offer. Tired of being the smartest one in the room? Reach out to UConnex today for a free demo. UConnex, the world's leader in true, transparent, biddable media.